glad that you all chose to worship with us this morning as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you thought you were going to get a good breakfast and sing a few songs and that was it, then surprise, here I am. So if you have your Bible, you can open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to be reading through verses 1 through 17. I just want to mention that normally when we read through a passage, we teach down through that passage. This morning, the service is a little different. We're going to read through that to set the tone for our message. So, and if you're using the church Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 17 is on page 1036. So on Friday evening, on Good Friday, we gathered together here at the Orchard to remember the pain and suffering that Christ went through during his crucifixion on the cross, before his crucifixion and during his crucifixion. And we were reminded that Christ died on the cross in our place, that he took the punishment we deserve. See, Jesus lived a sinless life. But out of his love for us, God the Father placed all the sins of the world in his Son, Jesus Christ, and passed judgment on him by his dying on the cross. Jesus died the death that we deserve. He died in our place for our sins so that we don't have to pay that penalty. And this morning, we're going to be looking at the resurrection of Christ. And that's when he was brought back to life, 3 days after his death on the cross. Now, to some people, this sounds like foolishness, that a dead man can come back to life. But the Bible tells us that this really happened. And it's not just the Bible. The history books say that Christ was resurrected as well. Jesus even told his disciples that he would be brought back to life in Matthew chapter 17, verses 22 and 23, when he said, "The Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him, and he will be raised on the third day." Jesus predicted his own resurrection. Now, the resurrection of Christ fulfills the Old Testament prophecies about him. And it also validates everything that he said about himself, that he is God the Son. And the resurrection also displays God's awesome power. It proves that he has power over death. Without the resurrection, there wouldn't be any Christianity. Christ would still be in the grave. He would have been just another teacher like Muhammad. Or like Buddha. But he's not. Our faith would be meaningless if that were the case. But the resurrection is true. It really did happen. Christ is alive. He is risen. Our faith in Christ is faith in the one true God that has power over life and death. So as we look at the importance of the resurrection this morning, let's start by reading through 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also. For I am the least of the apostles, and not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me did not prove vain. But I labored more than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ is preached, that he has been raised from the dead, now how do some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God, because we testified against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if, in fact, the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we could never thank you enough for the gift of your Son, for offering us forgiveness of sins through his death and his resurrection. Father, we can't even imagine how much you love us. Your love is so different than ours, so complete, so whole. Father, we pray as we go through this message this morning, this lesson that you've given us, that we have open hearts and open minds, and that we learn what you're trying to teach each one of us this morning, and that we leave here thinking about it. Father, we pray that we know more about you when we leave here than we did when we came in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we just read, after he publicly died on the cross and was raised from the dead, the resurrected Christ appeared to more than 500 people. There's no way 500 people would have the same story if it wasn't actually true. There's no doubt that Jesus Christ was resurrected. But what does it mean? What is the importance of Christ's resurrection? Well, our first point, the resurrection is necessary for our salvation. Now, most of us know at least some of the story of Adam and Eve. God put them in the Garden of Eden. And he told Adam not to eat from one tree in the garden, just one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But they failed. They ate fruit from that tree. They didn't keep the one command that God gave them. Through their disobedience, through Adam's sin, sin entered into the world. And every person born since then has been born with a sin nature. And that means that if we're left on our own, we naturally rebel against God. We naturally sin against God. And point A is everyone has sinned against God. Paul made that point in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, when he said, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now, some people might say, "Not my child. My little Johnny has never sinned." Oh, yeah? You didn't have to teach little Johnny to be selfish, did you? You didn't have to teach him how to lie. Now, if you have kids or have ever had kids, you know the answers to this. We have to teach them how to be unselfish. We have to teach them how to always tell the truth, right? We don't have to teach our children to do bad things, because just like us, they do those on their own. They have the sin nature. They're born with it. Everyone has sinned against God. And the Bible teaches us that there's punishment. There is a price to pay for sinning against God. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul says that the price that has to be paid for sinning against God is death. Paul isn't talking about physical death. We're all going to physically die one day. The death Paul is talking about is spiritual death. Everyone has sinned against God, which means everyone comes into this world spiritually dead. But then, in the second part of this verse, Paul said, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, God could have said, you're all sinners, so that's it for you then. But he didn't. He loves us too much to leave us dead in our sins. He gives us the opportunity through his Son, Jesus Christ, to become spiritually alive. And not just spiritually alive for all eternity. That brings us to point B. Salvation comes through faith in Christ. Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sins when he died on the cross. And his resurrection proved that. The resurrection proves that Christ is who he said he is. He said to his disciples, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. See, the only way for a person to accept the forgiveness of sins and the eternal life that God offers is by putting their faith in Jesus Christ, by believing that he is the Son of God. That he is the Son of God who died for the forgiveness of sins. He was buried, and he was raised from the grave 3 days after he died. Paul explained this to the Roman church in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, when he said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And with the mouth, he confesses, resulting in salvation. Now, there are some churches that teach that a person is saved simply by saying the sinner's prayer. But putting your faith in Jesus Christ is a lot more than saying a few words. It can start with a prayer. But true saving faith happens when a person believes in their heart Christ is who he said he is. And they commit their life to him. And the way they commit their life to him is by making an honest effort to live out what the Bible teaches. We have a guidebook. It's not that hard. Christ's resurrection is necessary for our salvation. And number two, Christ's resurrection ensures our justification. Now, justification is when a person has their sins forgiven, when God doesn't count a person's sins against them. What he does is he declares that person righteous because of the faith they have in his Son, Jesus Christ. G.E. Ladd put it this way. The root idea in justification is the declaration of God, the righteous judge, that the man who believes in Christ, sinful though he may be, is righteous, is viewed as being righteous, because in Christ he has come into a righteous relationship with God. Christ was raised to make us right with God. That's why Paul said in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, he who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Jesus Christ was raised from the dead so that we can have our sins forgiven, so that we can enter into a right relationship with God the Father. Remember, the penalty for sin is death, spiritual death. But Paul teaches in Romans chapter 5, verse 9, that because believers have been justified by Christ's death and resurrection, we no longer have to pay the penalty for our sins. He's already done that for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Believers have been justified through their faith in Christ, their faith in his death and his resurrection. And then point B, justification brings peace with God. So faith in Christ justifies us in God's eyes, and that brings peace with him. And the reason there's peace with him is because there's no more obstacles between us and him. Our sins are gone. He doesn't see our sins anymore. When he looks at us, he sees Christ, because we're covered by his righteousness. And Paul states this in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ's resurrection is necessary for our salvation. Christ's resurrection ensured our justification. And Christ's resurrection gives us security. Point three. The Bible teaches that 40 days after his resurrection, 40 days after Christ was risen from the grave, he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God the Father. Now, he's not just sitting there. He's speaking to God. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 34, Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who was raised. Who is he at the right hand of God who also intercedes for us? So point A, Christ speaks to God the Father on our behalf. See, even though the believer's salvation was made secure through Christ's death on the cross, through his resurrection and ascension, Christ is still caring for his redeemed children. The writer of Hebrews points this out as well in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, when he said, therefore, he is able also to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Those who have put their faith in Christ, they have the security of knowing that their eternal life with God is secure, because Christ has returned to the glory he had before he came to earth. He is alive. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He's carrying on his role as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is the advocate for Christians. He's our great defender. See, Jesus is always pleading our case before the Father, like a defense lawyer, on our behalf. Think about that. He's speaking to God the Father right now about us, on our behalf. And then point number four, Christ's resurrection produces spiritual fruit in our lives. See, we grow spiritually through Christ. That's what Paul was referring to when he said in Romans chapter 7, verse 4, Therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. So after Christ's resurrection, after he ascended into heaven, he sent his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to live inside of his followers. See, when someone puts their faith in Jesus Christ, when someone commits their life to him, the Holy Spirit is immediately given to them. It's the Holy Spirit that brings our spirit to life. And the Holy Spirit gives Christians the ability to understand what the Bible says. Unbelievers can't. Someone who hasn't committed their life to Christ doesn't have the Holy Spirit living in them. So they can't completely understand what the Bible teaches. They can understand bits and pieces, but they can't see the whole picture. And a believer, through that, bears fruit. And that means that they grow spiritually. And that happens through understanding what the Bible teaches and applying what it teaches to their everyday lives. Remember, we have a manual. And Paul tells us what that growth looks like in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. He said, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." If a Christian is obedient and they're growing, then these nine attributes will be evident in their life. They'll be bearing fruit the Lord. And then number five, Christ's resurrection guarantees our resurrection. The resurrection of Jesus Christ proves that he has power over death. But he's not the only person that's going to be resurrected. One day, everyone will be resurrected. That's why Paul said in Acts chapter 24, verse 15, "Having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked." The Bible teaches that life is eternal. It teaches us that one day Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he does, everyone is going to receive a resurrection body, just like his. Both the righteous, those who have chosen to give their life to Christ, and also the wicked, those who haven't given their life to Christ. That's who Paul's referring to. Now, these bodies, they're not like our earthly bodies that wear out over time. Our resurrection bodies are made to last forever, for all eternity. The resurrection bodies of Christians, they're going to last forever in heaven with God, because believers are alive in Christ. Everyone who puts their faith in Christ is made spiritually alive for all eternity. That's why Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 19, after a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you live also. Believers will live forever with Christ. But at the same time, The resurrection bodies of unbelievers, those are going to last forever as well. But those are going to last forever in hell, separated from God for all eternity. And that's what Paul is referring to when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 22 and 23, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, after that those who are Christ at his coming." Life is eternal. It lasts forever. I know it's hard for us to wrap our brains around that. But where we spend eternity, that depends on whether or not we choose to live our lives for Christ. And that brings us to our last point. Christ's resurrection assures us of God's righteous judgment. See, we're all accountable to God for the way we choose to live our lives. One day, God will judge the world through Jesus Christ. And that's why Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, "He has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead." The resurrection proves who Christ is. The resurrection proves that one day he will judge the world. Everyone is born with a sin nature, which causes them to sin against God. And if you die, a Christ returns while you still have that sin in your life, you're going to be separated from God for all eternity in hell. That's not what God wants. God doesn't want you to be separated from him. He doesn't want anyone to choose to go to hell. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. They shall have eternal life." When we give our lives to Christ, he brings our spirit to life. He gives us the power to say no to that sin nature, to overcome that, overcome the sin in our lives. God wants everybody to spend eternity in heaven with him. But he's not a forceful God. He's a loving God. He leaves that choice up to you. Because of his resurrection, we all have a choice. If you give your life to Christ and turn away from your sinful lifestyle, your sins will be forgiven. You will have eternal life. You will spend eternity in heaven. The choice is yours to make. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. "If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this reminder of what, just a little bit of what the resurrection means. It's just a small part of it, but how it applies to our lives, how you've given us a choice of where we're going to spend eternity. Thank you for loving us so much that you didn't just leave us dead in our sins. You've given us a way out through your Christ, through your Son, Jesus Christ, Father. We can never thank you enough for that, Father. So we pray as we leave here this morning that we meditate on this word, that we think about it, that we go to your word in the Bible and just see what your word tells us, Father. And I pray that we spread your word throughout the surrounding communities, throughout the state, throughout the country, and throughout the world, all for your kingdom, for your glory, in Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.